As we continue in our series on the life of David, today we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 1 through 23. We'll be there in a few moments. David, he is now a fugitive. He's on the run from King Saul. And initially, David's faith in the Lord, it was superseded by his fears of Saul. And as a result of his fear, David made a number of mistakes. He went to Ahimelech, who was the priest there at Nob, and he lied to him on several occasions, several different lies. And then he left Ahimelech, and he fled to Achish, who is the king in Gath, in Philistia, in the Philistine territory. And in order to escape from the Philistines, David, he pretends that he's insane. He pretends to be a lunatic. And apparently, those two episodes in David's life, they enabled him to realize that in spite of his fears, the Lord was still sovereignly watching over him and protecting him. So from this point on, as we get into our scripture, we will see David's growing confidence in the Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through our scripture, and then we'll talk about David's growing confidence. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me?" So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. But the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah." So David left, and he went to the forest of Herath. Now Saul heard that David and his men had been discovered, and Saul was seated, spear in hand, under the tamarisk tree on the hill in Gibeah, with all his officials standing at his side. He said to them, "Listen, men of Benjamin, will the son of Jesse give you all fields and vineyards? Will he make all of you commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? Is that why you have all conspired against me? No one tells me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. None of you is concerned about me or tells me that my son has incited my servant to lie in wait for me as he does today. But Doeg, the Edomite, who was standing with Saul's officials, he said, 'I saw the son of Jesse come to Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, at Nob. Ahimelech acquired of the Lord for him. He also gave him provisions and the sword of Goliath, the Philistine.' Then the king sent for the priest, Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, and all the men of his family, who were all priests at Nob. And they all came to the king. Saul said, 'Listen now, son of Ahitub.' 'Yes, my lord,' he answered. And Saul said to him, 'Why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, giving him bread and a sword and inquiring of the Lord for him, so that he has rebelled against me and lies in wait for me as he does today?' Ahimelech answered the king, 'Who of all your servants is as loyal as David, the king's son-in-law, captain of your bodyguard, and highly respected in your household? Was that day the first time I inquired of God for him? Of course not. Let not the king accuse your servant or any of his father's family, for your servant knows nothing at all about this whole affair.' But the king said, 'You will surely die, Ahimelech, you and your whole family.' Then the king ordered the guards at his side, 'Turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because they too have sided with David. They knew he was fleeing, yet they did not tell me.' But the king's officials were unwilling to raise a hand to strike the priests of the Lord. The king then ordered Doeg, 'You turn and strike down the priests.' So Doeg, the Edomite, turned and struck them down. That day he killed 85 men who wore the linen ephod. He also put to the sword Nob, the town of the priest, with its men and women, its children and infants, and its cattle, donkeys, and sheep. But one son of Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled to join David. He told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord. Then David said to Abiathar, "That day when Doeg the Edomite was there, I knew he would be sure to tell Saul, 'I am responsible for the death of your whole family. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. The man who wants to kill you is trying to kill me too. You will be safe with me.'" Thank you. You may be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. Theologian Del Bruner, he writes, and he writes and he pens and says, "The best parable that we have in our home is our cat, Clement of Alexandria. When our cat goes outside, he lives in terror. He looks around as though it's a jungle, and he is terrified. But when he comes in the house, he lies on the floor right between the kitchen and the dining room where we walk the most. Falls asleep in total trust." Bruner goes on and says that his wife Kathy or him could squash Clement's head at any time, but Clement trusts them. You see, after learning that King Saul really did intend to have him killed, would not stop at trying to kill David. David fled from him. He's a fugitive on the run from King Saul. He was much like Clement the cat, living in terror when he was outside, while on the run from the king. David, he made a number of foolish mistakes, all because of his fear of King Saul. Thankfully, however, David, much like Clement the cat, returned to the house, as it were, and his trust in the Lord, it grew. Today, as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 through 23, I want us to see how it shows us how we can learn to trust the Lord even in difficult circumstances. The very first thing that we will notice as we work through our scripture is David's preparation, and there are three aspects regarding David's preparation. The very first thing is the place where David's preparation took place. Once David realized in Gath of Philistia that he was in trouble, that he had made a mistake going there, that he was not safe being there, he pretended madness. He pretended that he was insane. And Achish, who is the king of Gath, he did not want any more madmen in his presence. So apparently, Achish let David leave him and leave Gath. Because verse 1 of our scripture says, David left Gath and he escaped to the cave of Adullam. The cave of Adullam is about 10 miles southeast of Gath. And we don't know how much time David spent there in the cave of Adullam. But it was during that period that David's confidence in the Lord grew. He wrote two psalms during that period while he is hiding out in the cave, Psalm 57 and Psalm 142. The title of Psalm 57, which is part of the inspired psalm, it says, "To the choir master, according to Do Not Destroy, a miktam of David when he fled from Saul in the cave." And similarly, the title of Psalm 142 says, "A miskal of David when he was in the cave, a prayer." And although both of these psalms are laments, they nevertheless show us this growing confidence that David has in the Lord. Today, right now, as you're here, you may be going through a very difficult time. You may be in a very rough patch. But let me urge you, take some time. Spend it with the Lord. Read his word. Speak to him in prayer. Let him speak to you in silence. Spend some time in worship, through song and through reading, through being still. Meditate on God's faithfulness to you in the past. And let God revive you and show you that he will never leave you. He will always be there. But the second thing we see is the people that are around David during this preparation. After some time, we don't know how long it was, but David's brothers and his father's house, they all hear that he's hiding out in the cave of Adullam. And they went down there to him. Now, it is very likely that they all feared for their lives, because it was very popular, very common, that Saul would try to kill David's family because kings would regularly try to kill off the families of rival kings. But in addition to David's family, verse 2 says, all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him. These were the dregs of Israel's society in the sense that they were the people who were feeling the oppression of King Saul and his rule over them. They finally decided that they were no longer willing to live under Saul's despotism. And David became their commander. About 400 men were with him. Richard Phillips notes, this band of 400, they formed the nucleus of what would become David's kingdom. It's noteworthy that in the providence of God, it was Saul's injustice toward David that marked the younger man out as the leader of the faithful in Israel. And as this band of people were rallying around David and they started to grow, he became concerned about his aging parents because Scripture tells us from there David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me? Now, you may recall that David's great-grandmother, her name was Ruth. She was from Moab. Because of that, and because of the fact that Saul had been at war, had been battling with Moab, David believed that Moab would be a very safe place for his parents. So David left his parents with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. David and this band of 400 men, along with their wives and their children, they stayed in the stronghold, which was the cave of Adullam. But the third thing we notice in David's preparation is this prophet that comes along. Now, earlier I mentioned David, he's in the cave of Adullam, and he wrote Psalm 57. Verse 3 of Psalm 57 goes like this. He, speaking of the Lord, he will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. Selah. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. And by his kind providence, the Lord sent the prophet. The prophet's name was Gad, and he goes to David while David is there hiding out in the stronghold. But the prophet Gad says to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah. During this time of preparation, David's confidence in the Lord, it was growing and growing. We know this because of David's immediate obedience to the word of God that came from the prophet Gad. David left and he went to the forest of Hereth, which was back in Israel, in the land of Judah. And Richard Phillips writes and he says, this kind of ready obedience to God's word is the mark of true and living faith. If we are to profess faith in David's God, then we must be willing to obey as David did when the Bible speaks clearly to our lives. In the arrival of Gad, the prophet, to his refuge there of Adullam, David must have seen the return of God's favor for him. And we likewise, we should treat God's word as the surest sign of his will for our blessing, so that we prize the scriptures, so that we eagerly believe as we read the scripture and we obey it. So David's growing confidence in the Lord, it involved a season of preparation. But as we move on to Scripture, the second thing we notice is that David is in this predicament. The very first thing that we see in this predicament is the slaughter that takes place by Saul. Apparently, Saul heard that David and his men had been discovered. Presumably, somebody came and told Saul about David's whereabouts. Saul, he's seated. He's got his spear in his hand, his trusty spear, under the tamarisk tree. He's on one of the hills there in Gibeah with all of his officials, and they're standing around him. They're standing there. You can just picture this despotic Saul sitting there under the tree with all of them standing there, and all of his officials, his servants, they're all kind of shaking, they're all quivering, they're in fear. And then he demands to know from them what was going on with David. But none of his servants will say even a word. They're just standing there, quivering, shaking. And then finally, Doeg, the Edomite, who was standing there with Saul's officials, he said, "I saw the son of Jesse come to Ahimelech, son of Ahitub at Nob. Ahimelech acquired of the Lord for him. He also gave him provisions and the sword of Goliath, the Philistine." Now, you may remember that Doeg, he misstated what he had witnessed because David did not inquire of the Lord while he was there in Nob. Even more than that, Doeg applied that Ahimelech somehow is conspiring with David against Saul, which in fact was not the case because Ahimelech did not know anything about what's going on. David had lied to him, had told him some falsehoods about what was taking place. So Saul summoned Ahimelech and all of the other priests at Nob to come and to see him. And they did. You know, you obey the king when he calls you. And so Saul says to him, "Why have you conspired against me? You and all the sons of Jesse, giving him bread and the sword and inquiring of God for him, so that he has rebelled against me and lies in wait for me as he does today." And Ahimelech, being caught a little bit off guard by this, he answered Saul and said he didn't know anything about this conspiracy. Even more than that, he affirmed that David was the most faithful of Saul's servants. "There is no one as faithful to you as David has been." But Saul would not hear any of it. And so he says to Ahimelech, "You will surely die, Ahimelech, you and your whole family." And then the king ordered the guards that are standing there at his side, "Turn and kill the priest of the Lord." But the king's officials, they're unwilling to raise a hand to strike the priest of the Lord. And because none of Saul's servants were willing to kill the priest, Saul turns and he says, "You turn and strike down the priests." And Doeg, who is the Edomite, probably because he has no ties to Israel, he has no commitment to the people of God, he struck them down. And that day he killed 85 men who wore the linen ephod, basically 85 men who were priests. And then he traveled to Nob, the city of the priest, and he put to the sword both men and women, child and infant, ox, donkey, and sheep. He put them all to the sword. Now, in the message from last week, if you remember that, I mentioned that David's lies to Ahimelech while he was there at Nob, they eventually resulted in the death of Ahimelech and all the priests there at Nob, as we see that taking place now today. See, moral failure has consequences, sometimes very disastrous consequences. So let us work at being vigilant. Every day, let us work on being honest, telling the truth, never shading it. Always be people of honesty and of integrity. Let us always trust God and follow after God. But the second thing we notice after this slaughter is the sorrow of David. David, he's now hiding out in the forest of Hereth, along with all of those who were with him. He did not know about Saul's deeds that had taken place through Doeg, there in Gibeah, and then also at Nob. But one son of Ahimelech, who was the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, he somehow escaped, and he fled to join David. Now, how Abiathar knew that David was hiding out in the forest of Hereth, we do not know. But somehow he did. He made his way to David, and he told David what Saul had done in killing the priest of the Lord. And David says to Abiathar, "That day when Doeg the Edomite was there, I knew that he would be sure to tell King Saul, 'I am responsible for the death of your whole family.'" Now, maybe interesting to you to know that God, he had actually foretold, foreordained the death of all the priests. Eli is the priest in Israel. He has two wicked sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And God says to Eli, back in 1 Samuel chapter 2, he says, "Behold, the days are coming when I will cut off your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house." Even more than that, God goes on, he says, "The only one of whom I shall not cut off from the altar shall be spared to weep his eyes out, to grieve his heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die by the sword of men." And that man was Doeg. And the one man that was left alive was Abiathar, to grieve for the loss of his family. You see, the Lord, he always carries out his sovereign purposes, sometimes even using the sin of people to accomplish those purposes. David's sins accomplished God's promise that he would punish the descendants of Eli with their destruction, except for one man. Commentator John Woodhouse writes, and he says, "Whatever reasonable criticisms we might have for David's conduct there at Nob, we cannot miss the contrast between the way David here is now taking responsibility for what he has done and the utter lack of responsibility that we have seen from Saul and the things that he has been doing. David now takes responsibility for the safety of Abiathar, because David says to him, "Stay with me. Don't be afraid. The man who wants to kill you is trying to kill me too. You will be safe with me." Saul, he is vehemently opposed to David. He wants David and all those people who are with David destroyed. And in similar fashion, in the same way, Satan is opposed to Jesus Christ. He wants Christ and all those people who are associated with Jesus Christ destroyed. But for all those who are willing to turn and to put their faith and their trust in Jesus, to allow Jesus to be their refuge and their strength, Christ will be your stronghold. He will be your safekeeping. He could be your cave of Adullam, if you will. See, as we look at our scripture this morning, we see David as his confidence grows. We should learn to trust in God in all circumstances, and especially in the difficult ones. Again, the life of David points us to his greater son, Jesus Christ. And there are a number of ways in which our scripture points us to Jesus, in which this narrative today points us to Jesus. For example, the dregs of Israel left Saul and they went to join David. And Rick Phillips writes, under David's influence, these followers formed the initial nucleus of what would become the great and glorious kingdom, the legacy of which would literally last forever. And in a similar way, Jesus gathered a band of followers. They were described as the dregs of Israel, the dregs of that society, and led by God's Son, Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit that he sends down from heaven. Christ followers are a dynamic influence in the world despite their lowly appearance and their worldly weakness. Even more than that, as we've already noted, David, he's hated by Saul. Saul wanted him killed and all of his followers destroyed. And in the same fashion, Jesus is hated by Satan. Satan wants to kill Jesus and have all of his followers destroyed. And finally, David was concerned for all of those who came to him for safekeeping. David took care of his family, as well as all of his followers. And in the exact same way, Jesus is concerned for all of those who will come to him for safekeeping. You may remember when Jesus, he's hanging there on the cross, and he takes care of his own mother. When he says to his disciple John, who's standing there, "Behold your mother." And you know, from that moment on, John took Jesus' mother into his house and he cared for her until she passed away. He looked after her as if she was his own mother. And regarding all those who come to him, Jesus says in John chapter 6, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." David, he was God's chosen one. And those who believed in him, they went to him. They left Saul and they joined David, the chosen one. And the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ is God's anointed one. There is no salvation for anyone else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It is only through Jesus Christ. So let us learn to put our trust in Christ, to be saved and to follow after him. Let's trust him every day, especially in the difficult circumstances. If you are going through a real rough time right now, the worship team is going to come and lead us in a song. Let this song be your anthem. Let this song be the salve that comforts your soul. Learn to trust in God, especially in the difficult circumstances.